Very fine print. I don't know how Dr. Spigel can see that in his Gemara. But we are where there's the last word in line is Avo. It's Rabbi Avohu. And from the beginning of the fine print, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down. You see that? Right, I should have used that. It's about 3 for the fourth line above where it gets wide. Okay, Reb David, do you have that? Okay. Now, the girsa here is messed up severely, but instead of going to the other girsa, I'm just going to try and muddle my way through here. Reb Elbashem Rabbi Yochanan said, so Reb Elbashem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Nemar Shmir B'Sher Mechinam, it says Shmira by Yeshua Mechinam, the Nemar Shmir B'Sher Mesachar, it says Shmira by Yeshua Mesachar. Of course, in the Torah, Shmir Mechinam and Shmir Mesachar, both are forms of Shomer. Below Dam Yoshe Nemar B'Sher Mechinam, the Shmir, which is mentioned by Yeshua Mechinam, is not comparable to the Shmir Shnemar B'Sher Mesachar to the Shmir which is stated by Yeshua Mesachar. The two different types of Shmira. This is actually a very fine vort. I don't think the Bible ever makes this distinction, but it is true. But Afilui Kifo, by Shomer Socher, even if he's surrounded, Chemisho Barzel, even if he's surrounded with a metal wall, Eilon Masokilu Shahu Shomer. See, we don't see it as if he preserved it properly. Meaning, by Yechol HaTil Chayov, he was able to save it from being stolen or lost. He is liable. Sheino yochol la'atzil patur. He was not able to save it. He's exempt. Ein omrim. We don't say iloy acher sham hayochol hatzu. We don't say, well, if somebody else was there, he could have saved it. Now, of course, there's something wrong with that last statement. Not sure exactly how to make it work. But what we're trying to say is that by shomer chinam, you're liable only on pshia. So meaning if you put it into a reliable place and left it there, so you're not considered to be any longer responsible for it. And even if you could have saved it, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the one to have saved it because all you're liable to is not to be poshea. But as long as you're not poshea, you are obviously exempt. By Sharma Sakha, that's not the case. By Sharma Sakha, even if you put it into a very well safeguarded place, if it's stolen or lost from there, and you have the capacity to save it in some way, shape, or form, you are liable for that. Okay, so it's a very different type of shmira. So even putting a safe deposit box, which is equivalent to chomesh or barzel, won't necessarily get you off the hook if you're a shomer socher. Okay, if you watch, if you're paid for it, you have to make sure to put yourself out for it even more. Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rabbi Yosha said. I don't know if the Bavli ever makes such a standard. Yes, but that's what Yerushalmi is saying. That is the standard. I don't know if the Bavli uses the standard, but it is, and it is a new, novel way of putting it. But it's not incorrect. That's correct. It's in the Yerushalmi, but I don't see anything not in line. Not in line with the standard understanding that Shomer Socher is Chai for Gnev and Avedo. It's that simple.
Shomer Socher have done. He's putting up an iron fence
to escape. He has to stay there.
Ah.
He has to stay there.
Okay, or the guard dogs.
Yeah, the guard dogs. There's nothing like that. He has to put it under his pillow. You know, see, he's getting paid for this. So therefore that means that he's like a night watchman. He has to be on constant guard. That's what I'm saying. I guess the way to read that line, the first wide line is, we don't look at, I guess the way to translate it and make it work is that we don't look at whether somebody else could have saved it or not, but rather we look at whether he was constantly making himself available. Just a second, I'm having a problem related to this. Okay, so I guess what it means is that we don't look at whether somebody else could have saved it or couldn't have saved it, but if he wasn't present to attempt to save it, that in of itself is a liability for him. because he should have been constantly on the watch. Had he been there on the watch, and then it was against his will, you know, somebody held him at gunpoint, so that's onus. At least in Mizuyon, it aren't bad that Hashem is not Chayvan, but he should have been there to make sure that that was the case. Okay? Rav Lezer B'Shem Rav Yeshu says, Nehmer Shlichus Siyah B'Shem Mechinam, and Nehmer Shlichus Siyah B'Shem Yisachar. They're, of course, both liable if they themselves do something illicitly move or remove a vibe, but cast their hand literally against the pikadam. Yad shlichus yad shem Hashem achinam eno chayav atshah sheyimshoch. The shlichus yad which is saved by Hashem achinam, you're not liable until you actually pull it away. Shlichus yad shenemar b'shem yisachar is interesting. This, I don't know exactly how we derive this, but the shlichus yad Hashem yisachar is much more liable. You don't actually have to pull away the pikadam from its resting place. But kaim shiniach maklu v'tamrilo, once you place your rod or your knapsack Olaf on the show, the object in for Bikaran Chayv, you're liable. Shama Rabbi Yossi Ibrahim Niroi, Vamar, Rabbi Yossi Ibrahim Niroi, sir, this name Rabbi Lezer, Vamar, he said, Any Makabo Lais Amidazu. He says, I don't know where there's such a distinction, like I just mentioned. I'm not sure exactly where such a distinction might come from. And therefore he says, Enochayv Eloachazu Vachazu, Enochayv Al Shim Shoch. You're not liable until you actually pull it away. So it's quite he says that the benchmark for shlichus yad is the same. Rabbi Ami b'shem Rabbi Lozer b'tani Rabbi Yosher. Rabbi Ami in the name Rabbi Lozer, and we learned also the name Rabbi Yosher. Kach said like this: Lo yomar shlichus yad shenamar lo yomar shlichus yad shenamar shomer sachar. I guess this is the way that we're trying to give logic. To the position Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yosher before that there is such a distinction. Let's see, I don't remember. Let's see. Lo yamar shlichus yad shemar b'shir shomer sachar sheino tzolich. It doesn't have to say shlichus yad by shomer sachar, the shomer casting his own hand against the pikadon. He see lo yamar shomer chinam. I would have learned from shomer chinam. My noisei sachar, if a shomer sachar is also called the noisei sachar, sheichmira bo teira, where the teira is more stringent. Enochayev ad shoshim, she was not liable until the action of Mishicha. Leis adover namor shlichus yad b'noisei sochar. Why therefore does it say shlichus yad by noisei sochar as well? In other words, I could have just said by Shem Rechim and learned it from there, Kavachomer. Shem Rechim is ochayev when he's Moshech. Then it's Shomer Sachar, Chayv when he does Mashiach as well. So why does it say Shlichus Yad independently when it's Sachar? So it must be Lachmir Lov, it must be to make him more liable. Came at Sheniach, Maklov, Tamilo Lov. Once he put his rod and the knapsack upon the Aveda, on the Pikadon, he's Chayv. Amar Rabbi Yisrael said, Imat Oimer Kain, if you say this, Nimtse Slome Kal Mechomer, Lachmir Volov. You're learning out the Kal, the Shomer Sachar, from the Chomor, the Shomer Chinam, to be more Machmir. The Yochum, in other words, you could have just said Shomer Chinam, and then you would have been less Machmir. Now that by Shomer Sachar it says, additionally, Shlichus Yad, besides saying so by Shomer Chinam, you're more Machmir. The Yochum, Lemay Marley, you could say, maybe you say the other way around. You say, Ma'im Neisa Socher Sheikhmir Bo Torah Afilu Moshach Ye Potter. Maybe I'll say that by Shomer Socher, that the Torah is more Machmir. Perhaps you say, Afilu Moshach Ye Potter. Maybe I'll say that not only by since Shomer Socher's Shmira is of a higher level, perhaps Shlichus Yad has a higher benchmark. As we said, the Shomer Sachar has a lower benchmark because Shomer Sachar is more Chomer. Its Shmira is more encompassing. Perhaps the opposite is true. Since its Shmira is more encompassing, so therefore you're not considered to be over Shlichus Yad unless you do something really debilitating to your Shmira. Because even if you pick it up and do Mashicha, you know, since you're Shomer Sachar, your Shmira might not be impinged by that because you have a higher level of Shmira. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, I might say by Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is a Shomer of a lesser degree of Shmira. So therefore, in proportion to that, the amount of Shlichus Yad is X. A Shomer Sochar has a higher degree of Shmira. So therefore, perhaps, even if he does X, whatever it's considered by Shlichus Yad, by Shomer Chinam, by him, perhaps it's not a Shlichus Yad, because his Shmira follows him wherever he goes. A Shomer Chinam, precisely because of Shmira, let's look at it in light of the previous thing. A Shomer Chinam, if he puts something in a safe place, that's the end of a Shmira. It doesn't have to do anything more than that. So therefore, if he does Mashiach and takes away from that safe place, that's a Shlichus Yad. A Shomer Sachar, it's not enough for him to put in a safe place. He has to guard it all the time, constantly and consistently, wherever he is. So therefore, perhaps it's not sufficient for, in order to consider Shlichus Yad, that he moves it. When he moves it, his Shmira moves along with him. Perhaps it's only Shlichus Yad when he did something far more damaging to the object and the Shmira thereof. Is that more clear? He's impinging upon a Shmira. He's casting his hand against the Bikadim.
Something that could possibly cause the
Bikadim
to be lost.
Yeah, but I would say more than that. In other words, not just that it could cause the Bikadim to be lost. It could it's an act of theft.
Okay.
So it's an act of theft because, or quasi theft, because you are actually
setting up the situation, the scenario
that
where
it
could be taken.
Right. By him. By him himself. Right. So the question is, at what where do we set the bar for that? For Shomer Chinam, perhaps the most, since his Shmira consists of putting it somewhere safeguarded, the moment he moves it away from there, he has already, you know, been thief-like in his activities. But Shomer Sochar, precisely because the Shmira follows him wherever he goes, then perhaps, even if he takes it with him somewhere, it's not yet a form of Gneva, because he's taking a Shmira with him wherever he goes. Okay? That's how I think I would explain it. That's Rabbi Yose's challenge. You're right, that's the opposite of what we said till now. Till we said, well, if Shomer Sochar is a hard pass, do more Shmira, so he should be much more sensitive to Shlichus Yad. But Rabbi Yose is proposing the opposite, that since he's more of a Shomer, perhaps it's less sensitive to Shlichus Yad. That's his proposal. You don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it, but that's what he's proposing. Okay? Okay, that's fine. That's a good definition. Better than mine. I'll take it. Okay? So, Elikeni. So, three lines at the bottom of this passage. Rather, this is the way it is. Lo yomar shlichus yad. You don't have to say shlichus yad, shnemar b'shar mechidam. Where we already have shar mechidam, shlichus yad, in shar mechidam, we don't need a b'shar mechidam. She ain't tzarech. By Shomer Chinam, it's when he do Mashiach. Nosi Sochar, Sheikh Mira Bo Torah came at Shemal Shach as well. Lays a Dover, Nemar Shlichus Yad. You know what? It's the other way around. Again, the gears is messed up here. I'm sorry. It shouldn't say, in other words, what's it trying to say is that you don't need to write Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam if you write it by Shomer Sochar, right? Says, going back to the third line from the bottom of that passage. Don't write that. You don't need that. would say that until Mashiach is done, you're not a shaliach yad, because no sisachar shechmir bo Torah came with Shemoshach. No sisachar, the Torah is more machmir, the barometer is Mashiach. So therefore, by Shur Machinam, the barometer is certainly no less than Mashiach, no, in other words, nowhere, no earlier point. So why is it shlichus yad to by shor mechinam she'enu tzarich, which is not necessary? It's lachmir al nosi socher. In other words, the by shor mechinam to shlichus yad is unnecessary. I would have learned that for shor mechinam the parameters if they were equivalent. So why does it say by shor mechinam? It's like an imenu inyan. It doesn't have to say by shor mechinam. Why does it say it twice? It must be to create a distinction. What's the distinction where it's coming to create? So it must be lahachmir nosi socher kemet shniach maklov v'tarmilo alav chayov. It's coming to be machmir nosi socher. It's precisely because shomachinam and shomachinam could have been the same. I could have learned shomachinam out of shomachinam. The fact that it says that by shomachinam must be coming to differentiate and say between the two. So the differentiation is not because necessarily of any logic. It's just pure mechanistic. In other words, since there's an extra term, shlichus yad by shor mechinam, which is not necessary, the Torah didn't have to write it, it must be there's a differentiation. It must be that shor mechinam, the benchmark is Mashiach. By shor mesocha, the benchmark is a different benchmark. What would that be? So I don't know why in the end he says it's by hanochas makhlo v'tarmilo. L'chore could have said that it's the opposite. You have to do something else altogether. But so I'm not sure exactly why. In other words, something like break it. That would only be shlichus yad. But somehow he ends up and says also in the end that the extra pasuk is what tells us that it's that shomer zohar. It has a different benchmark, which is when you put your rod and knapsack against it. Bottom line, I'm not sure exactly how we derived this conclusion, but I'll tell you what the machlokas is. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yeshua are construing from a kal v'chomer. They're saying if by shor mechinam X, then certainly by shor mechinam X, perhaps even by shor mechinam Y, more severe, right? And that's how they come out. The Rabbi Yosef is coming to the same conclusion, but not based on a kal v'chomer, not based on that form of logic, but rather based on the superfluous pasuk logic. If it's superfluous pasuk, it's coming to teach us the differentiation. Why he chose, because it's not a kal v'chomer, to do the differentiation and make shomer zohar more severe, more sensitive shlichus yad, and not less severe, that I don't know in the end. It's not clear from the more why he chose to go in that direction. Okay? That's the end of that. Next parak. Now, the first thing you notice about this parak is if you look at the top of the next page, this parak is a different name than the Bavli. The Bavli is one of the most famous parakim of Ch'as. It's called? Anybody remember? Hazov. What's it called here? Hakesef. Right. So that's because the Mishnah here is... What? Yes. There's no parak Hakesef in the Bavli. So the Mishnah starts in that vein. Hakesef koinis hazov. In the Bavli it says the opposite. It says hazov koinis hakesef. But the Yerushalmi says money, but silver buys gold. Now, of course, we're talking about everything here is a coin. And the question is, of course, we hold most in the Konos, money doesn't make kinyanim. Only Mashiach makes kinyan. But Metalchlin works, of course, Chalifin works. Chalifin works when you give fruit as payment for money, then the money is acquired. When you give money as payment for anything, it doesn't acquire that anything. The commodity, the land, it's not a, well, actually land is, I'm sorry. When you give money as payment for any commodity, any movable object, the commodity is not acquired until Mashiach actually occurs. But when you give a commodity in as exchange for money, then the kinyan is immediate as the exchange takes place. So the Mishnah is talking about when you have two types of money, which one is the commodity and which one is the currency. Because the commodity can acquire the currency cannot acquire the commodity. So in the Bible it says, Azov koinis hakesef, because money is a gold commodity vis-a-vis silver, which is a currency, because silver is more liquid, more current, so therefore it's a currency. But the Baal, the Yerushalmi, does not follow that principle. The Yerushalmi says, HaKesef Kainas Azov, the silver is considered to be a commodity vis-a-vis gold, which is currency. Azov Ein HaKainas HaKesef, gold, which is currency, cannot acquire silver, which is commodity. Now, in Choshes Kainas HaKesef, copper coins, prutos, can acquire silver coins. HaKesef Ein HaKainas HaKesef, silver coins, cannot acquire copper coins. Most rose, money which is no good, which is no longer used in the country, that's considered to be a peros and acquires good current money. Ayafos, good current money, and a connoisseros cannot acquire money which is no longer current. Asimon, a slug, connoisseur acquires a coin. Vamadbea, a coin, which is kesef, of course, and a connoisseur Asimon cannot acquire a slug. Hamataldin coin and Mr. Matbea, movable objects acquire coins, a coin cannot acquire movable object. Zakal, this general principle called Mataldin coin says that all movable objects do acquire each other. Our mission is only talking about currency vis-a-vis commodity, not about commodity vis-a-vis commodity. Now, this says to me, the Gemara, Zakal shall deliver this principle of the Mishnah according to the Yerushalmi. Anything which is less valuable is considered to be the peri. Not, we don't go by what's current and what's not, but rather by what's more valuable and what's less valuable. So, of course, silver is less valuable than gold. So, silver is the commodity and gold is the currency and so on and so forth. I'm Rabbi Chiya Barash. Rabbi Chiya Barash said, Manti, so who said over on Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Barevi? And this, in fact, is also in the Bavli. It says that there were two Mishnayos. In the Bavli says also the Mishnah which brought down Yerushalmi, which is not the Bavli's version, the Bavli says is Mishnah Rishonah, and Rabbi reneged in his old age and said we don't go by the value but rather by currency, and the Bavli, the Yerushalmi also holds that Rabbi tried to change his mind in his old age. However, the Yerushalmi holds that Rabbi Shimon his son did not let Rabbi change his mind. That's the key here. So it says, Marmati, so is the author of our mission, Bishimon Rebbe. Amale Avoy, his father, Rebbe, said to him, Chazor Becha, you know what, change what you said. The Tani Kadon learned it this way, Azov Kwenis HaKesef, which is the way it's written, of course, in the Bavli. Amale, so Bishimon Rebbe said, Leina Chazbi, I ain't reneging on this one. Do you know what? This is an amazing thing for a son to say to his father, particularly his father, Rabbi Yonasi. The Adu Chelech Halach, while you were still strong in your head, while you still have your strength of mind, Asnesei HaKesef Kenes Azov, you taught us this Mishnah of HaKesef Kenes Azov. So I'm going to follow what you taught us in your youth. Okay? Milsei de Rabbi Amar. Our Rebbe attempted to say in his old age, Zov Kiperos, that gold is like fruit. Masnisa Amra, our Mishnah tells us, Kesef Kiperos, that silver is like fruit. Okay, so Rebbe and our Mishnah clash. Now, there's a line missing here, which is in the Eskorial. Masnisa Rebbe Chiya Amra, I'm reading the line from my notes here. The price of Rebbe Chiya. But Rabbi Chiya notes that Zav is Kiperos, tells us that Zav is like fruit. There's a Braisa, which Rabbi, of course, told his son that he holds that gold is fruit. Milsim, however, Rabbi Chiya's own statement in the following case tells us Kesef Kiperos, that silver is like fruit, is the commodity. What's the story? Bras Rabbi Chiya Ruba Usfas the Rav Dinorim. The daughter of Rabbi Chiya the Great loaned to Rav. Do they remember what their relationship was? How are they related, Rav Chiya's daughter and Rav? No clue? They're first cousins. Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle. So they're cousins. Rav Chiya, so the daughter of Rav Chiya loaned to Rav dinar and gold coins. Asushal Slavusich came and asked her father, but she could take back from Rav gold coins. Now the reason is because we have Isser we're going to have later in Masechta in the fifth parak, we have the Isser of loaning Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. You're not allowed to loan a commodity for commodity because the commodity might go up in price and it would look like ribbis. So if gold is a commodity, if you loan gold coins, you may not take back gold coins. If gold is currency, however, then you can loan gold coins and take back gold coins, right? So she asked her father what to do. So her father said, Omer lo, and this is in the Bible as well, Shkile minei dinar tavim takin, take the best and weightiest silver or gold coins you can get. So says the Gemara, Mibrasar b'chir yalfin. You want to learn from this maisa of the daughter of b'chir? Maybe there was extenuating circumstances there. Maybe he had gold at home, because as long as you can loan commodity, where the individual borrows has commodity at home, it's just he can't get it right away. And there are other possibilities involved here. So therefore, you can't learn out from this story what Rabbi Chi himself holds. Rabbi Yehuda said, of Abba, Voyishmo, also Abba, who is Shmuel's father, Voyikumi Rabbi, has in front of Rabbi, Malavos Dinarim, but Dinarim, can run loan coins for coins, Amrle Mutar. He said it's permissible. Amrle, I guess he asked before Rabbi in his youth, although somebody here wants to say that the changes from gold to silver, but the passage says that the dinar in here means one place means gold and another place means silver, but the passage says that it was gold coins and in his youth he permitted it. Amrle Yaakov Baracha, of Rabbi Yochanan, Rishlokesh Tarvein, Amrin, they both said, Mutar the Vos Dinarim, but Dinarim, you're allowed to loan gold for gold. However, there's a difference. Carat be carat shari. Now, this is not to be confused, it seems, with what we call carats, which is actually a way, something to do with the value of diamonds. But rather, there's a certain coin, a golden coin called a carat, which is permissible, it's considered to be a true coin. Lak and balak, or another gold coin, is considered really to be a commodity. You can't loan one for the other. Tom and team, let's over there. Kohenazit Donim Bacher, anything which is evaluated in some other way. Meaning, of course, money is evaluated by itself. If I have $10, I say I have $10. But if I want to evaluate the value of, say, a pen, I would say this is a $10 pen. So metalkin are evaluated not in them in of themselves, but they're evaluated by reference to something else. Okay, so that's metalkin. So called nasa doim achas, or anything which is evaluated by some other scale other than its own self, that's considered metalkin. Came to zochas and ischayv zeb chalifa. So there's a principle of exchange. Once I pull one for bartering commodity for commodity, I pull one of the commodities in question, you automatically acquire the other commodity in turn. You don't need both people to pull in order to make the mashiach, in order for the chalifah to take place. This is all basic halacha. Amrei Yochanan said, Lo shna ela pashor b'para, that's only talking about an ox for a cow, or chamor b'shor, or a donkey for an ox. A tzibor b'tzibor lokana is also somewhere in the Bible, I don't remember where, but if you have a pile of stuff, you don't know what's in the pile. You know, like mystery pile number one, you can't exchange that for mystery pile number two. That's not about kinyan. Kinyan's got to be where everybody's definite about what's going on. Even though it's not a kinyan kesef, nevertheless, a barter also has to have parameters akin to a kinyan kesef. Rabbi Yehuda Shem Rav said, I feel tibur, but tibur kind of knows it's a totally different type of kinyan exchange, and you don't even have to know what's going on in that pile at all. You exchange pile number one for pile number two. Rabbi Abba Bar Mina B'Shem Rav said, Amachli Avur Kolon Bavur Kolon. This, nobody knows exactly what this is. Pnei Moshe says that it's a treasure, and it's not considered, it has no, it's just like a tzibor, a pile of stuff. Lieberman says it's some sort of wrapping. Anyway, this when you choose, switch one type for the other, that's a valid type of kinyan chalifin. Rabbi Zeyan, I'm not sure why we have to say this. I don't know exactly. Maybe it like the emotion says because of pile for pile, like even I don't say exactly what's necessary. Rabbi Zeyan, Rabbi Yehuda Shem Shmuel said, Uzeh paro, uzeh chamor. This is a class case of chalifin. I have a donkey and you have a cow, and we want to switch. So we cleave uzeh bezeh, and we did chalifin. Marshal Ba'achamor Sapar, the person who hitherto owned the donkey, pulled the para to come to him. Uvah Ba'apar Limshal Chamor, and then the Ba'apar came after that initial transaction to get the donkey. B'matz Shmur, and he finds the donkey is broken. Ba'achamor Olav Levi Raya Shal Chamor Shol Limshal Shemashal. Nevertheless, the owner of the donkey has to make proof that his donkey was whole at the time that he performed the Mashiach on the cow. Says the Gemara, Amad lo sovar ha milsa lo sovar nizokin. Anybody who doesn't know like this knows nothing about the halachas of nizokin. It's a basic halach on hilchos nizokin. Rabbi Zirazay said, Lena sovar da milsa, I don't know, hold of this thing. For Lena sovar nizokin, and I don't, according to you, I don't know anything about nizokin. I'm not sure it's supposed to be Lena the second time, maybe it's supposed to be Ivana sovar nizokin, I don't know. He means to say, I don't hold this way, and I hold that, I know Hilchos Nizokin. Now, what's the issue here? Tamati, we learned over there. Hoya ba mumin beisav boda beisav, a classic case of Ksuvas. You had a girl who had mumin while she was still in her father's house. Right? So, if the mumin occurred after Erusin, whose problem is it? That's Chos's problem. Mumin happened before the Erusin, so it's the father's problem, right? It's a Mekach Toz. So we use there the principle of Kanim Tzokan Hoya. Even though you found the Mumin only after Erusin, but you found them in the father's house, so therefore we assume it happened already before she was married. If you find them in the husband's house, then we say, well, Kanim Tzokan Hoya is where it was, this is where it began. The problem was the problem of the husband's house, right? So says the Gemara, Oye ba mumin ve Rebbe Sabia, Rabuna, Rabbi Pinchas Er Chizka, now, actually I should really make it clear what's going on here. In other words, if she had mumin still in her father's house, that means that she has to prove that the mumin only happened after Erusin, right? So where did you find the dead donkey? Where was the dead donkey? Are we still there?
Yeah.
Where was the dead donkey? The donkey owner's house, right? So Kanim Tzokanoya, the donkey owner would have to prove that the donkey was alive at the time he made the Mashiach on the cow. Otherwise, we assume he always had a dead donkey in his house. Right? So the burden of proof is on the owner of the donkey. Even though the owner of the donkey is now holding on to the cow, he says, I have the cow. So what? It's your donkey who died. He has to prove that the donkey died after he did Mashiach on the cow, because I always say Kanim Tzokanoya was found dead in the donkey owner's house. It happened while the donkey owner still owned it. Okay? So same principle would seem. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Chuna, Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chizka, Sal Gabi Rabbi Yossi, the Ren Rabbi Yossi should be Lamilfa. They went to learn from him. That's what it says in Ksuvas, and the Shreiter so changed it. Army Kamayada, he told them in front of this, story. So Vamalon, he said to him, Amorda Baslo, wait a minute, but look at the next case. Nicholas Alushus Abao, what if she find the woman, once she's in her husband's domain, about Sarachlevi Raya, the husband has been proof that it was that would happen beforehand. Vla of Shu Sarachlevi Raya. And the father is not the one who has been a Raya. Tamar about Tzarech Levi Raya. So says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, who has to bring the proof? The owner has to bring the proof, right? The owner has to bring the proof. So here too, we say, Avhocha habal Tzarech Levi Raya. The owner has to bring the proof. And it seems that this too is also a proof to Rabbi Zira. No, I'm thinking maybe I made a mistake. Seems like he's proving to Rabbi Zira that it's incumbent upon the owner to bring the proof over there. I mean, the Baal, the husband, didn't bring the proof. And here, too, it's incumbent upon the... No, so maybe... 1 second.
Don't we hold the from Hashaka that the animal is alive to live at the moment?
No, we don't know Chazak where we have an issue Kanim Tzokan Hoya. That's the point over here. That's the issue. But now I'm thinking the Mecha Mayim says this right to Rabbi Zira, that in fact the Baal Chamor has to. No. Oh, Oh, sorry. No, sorry. This is a riot, Rabbi Zira. What Rabbi Yossi told them when they went to learn from Torah is a riot, Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira says that the Baal HaPorah has to bring proof. So since they found, what he's trying to say is that since they found the donkey dead after they did the Mashicha, so it's analogous to finding the moon Bebeis Avia. Bebeis Bala, sorry. Finding the moon in the husband's house. In other words, we wanted to say before that to find the dead donkey, since you found it in the donkey's, in the owner of the previous owner of the donkey's house, so he said that Kanim Sokanoya, you bring it here to find it here dead. The Baal Chamor has to bring proof that that his donkey was alive. And that would be a riot to the first opinion here, which is Rabbi Zira, and Rabbi Yehuda Rishem Shmuel. Now, however, it seems to that the Gemara is trying to bring a proof, Rabbi Yossi is trying to prove, that no, since you found it after the Mashiach took place, it's like finding it in the new husband's house. If I knew husband's house, he has to prove that it wasn't there beforehand, didn't just spring up now, but was there beforehand. So too, since you found the death occurred only after the Mashiach HaSapora occurred, so therefore we say that the Baal HaPorah being a proof that the donkey was dead beforehand. So he wants to equate the case over here to the case where he found the woman in the father's house, in the husband's house, as opposed to finding the woman in the father's house. Is that totally confusing? Yeah, basically. Yes. But, right. I mean, it is a simple application, but it's obfuscated. It's made more complex because it fits the Kanim Sokan Hoya. So let me just run through it one more time.
It looks like we're ignoring the
principle. Right. We're not actually ignoring the principle Kanim Sokan Hoya. The question is, what's the fun? See, in both, there's no country. In Ksuvus, everything is consistent. Because in Ksuvus, if you find the womb in the father's house, so the father's got to bring a proof that it's happened before Erisin. Otherwise, he loses the Ksuvus, the Mechachtos. If you find it in the husband's house, the husband's bringing a proof that happened before Erisin. Right? Because Kanim Tzokanoya, whatever domain you find it, we assume that that's where it occurred. Okay? So Kanim Tzokanoya there is consistent. The question here is more complex. Because here, we need to know, when you found the donkey dead in the donkey owner's house, but it was after the Mashiach occurred, is that similar to finding in the father's house after Erisin, or finding in the Baal's house after Nisuin? So if it's similar to finding the Baal's house in the father's house after Erisin, so then we would say that just like over there, the father's spirit proof happened after Erisin. So to here, we would say that the Baal HaChamor is being proof that happened after the Mashiach. But if we say that after Mashiach is considered to be like the husband's house already, so over here it would be, on the contrary, the Baal HaPorah would have to bring proof that already was dead at the time they did Mashiach. Because already, as if through the Mashiach, it's tantamount to her having entered the husband's house over there in the case of marriage. Okay? So the same words, so the question is, to which of the two scenarios there to liken our case? That's the discussion over here. Now, here it says v'chiba, but it's not really related. Now, I tend to say that it's Rabbi Ba, because he appears in Amud Beis. So it's really a little bit of a separate issue. Actually, a lot of a separate issue. Rabbi Ba and Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem b'Shmuel said, v'zepor v'zechamor. There are cases where one guy has a cow and the other guy has a donkey. V'chlifu. And they exchange them. And Moshach Baruch, turn the page. Moshe Baruch Hamor is Sapora. The Baruch Hamor does Mashiach on the Pora. And yet, I'm sorry, take out the word low. If you don't take out the word low, there are grave, grave problems. Everybody has grave problems with the Sugi. But take out the word low, there are no problems whatsoever. Moshe Baruch Hamor is Sapora Kino. The Baruch Hamor pulls the Pora, acquires it. Chamor Mausha Tikna, yet perhaps the donkey is not yet acquired. We don't yet acquire the Chamor. Says Mara, and it's Machlokas. Rabbi Bo Amar, Rabbi Bo said simultaneously when the Baal Chamor acquires the Pora, so the Baal Pora acquires the Chamor. Rabbi Yassi Amar Lokan, Rabbi Yassi says there is no such kin, it doesn't occur simultaneously, which both have to make their own Mashiach. Now this makes no sense. It flies in the face of everything we know about Chalipin. What we know about Chalipin is that if one guy does Mashiach, it works in the other direction as well. And here, that's not the case. Right? So how do we reconcile these two? How do we understand Rabbi Yassi Shita? Raimona said, Ishachamu mide diyoide be Rabbi Yossi. I mean, how do we send Rabbi Yassi? I said, Raimona. How do we send Rabbi Yassi Shita? So it's not, Ishachamili diyoide be Rabbi Yossi. No, it's not a problem here. There's something here which Rabbi Yossi will concede. Now, concede here is not the right term. What concede here means is that Rabbi Yossi is talking. He's talking about something else. He's not talking about classic Chalifin. He's talking about a case he already had elsewhere in Bavli, in Yerushalmi, back in Yidushin. He's talking about a case like this. Adam Shiomer Lechaber, a person says to his friend, Parasen Yavakashlimkor, I want to sell my cow. Amar Lezer said, Bekama. He said, for how much? Amar Lebishmoyn, the Ram said, for $8. So Azo Samri Garbe Tarpanuze, so he went, Tarpunite, so he went and stood by the money changing table. And he said, you know what, pay this guy $8 on my cheshbon, because I'm going to buy from him a cow. Okay? But Safra, so the next day, Arba Ashkei Taman Koyim, he saw the guy who sold him the cow, who was going to sell him the cow, standing next to the money changer's table. Amalei said, what are you doing here? Wait, your money's not due yet. Eventually the money changer will give it to you, but not yet. Amar, so he says, I tell you, Amar, he said, I want to buy Mesiv Dinorim Das Machtani. I want to get the money which you promised me from the money changer. So, of course, this guy said, no, something is afoot. So Amar, so he said, Ma boy, Mizman Lach, Bohom. You must want to buy something with them, and that's why you need the cash right away. What do you want to buy? Amar, Chamor. So he said, I want to buy a donkey. So Amar, so he said, I tell you what, Chamor Chetzli. I'll pay, your chamor is by me. I'll pay you part of the money I owe you, all the money I owe you, via by giving you a donkey. So Moshach Zeh. So in this case, it looks like Chalifin, but it's not Chalifin, right? Because in this case, the papara is being bought with the chamor, but the chamor is not. But the chamor is not Chalifin. The chamor is like shave kesef kekesef. It's being used as payment for the donkey, for the cow. You understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, the donkey is part of the purchase price. Is that clear?
I don't fully understand.
I'm selling you a cow. You were supposed to pay me $10. You don't pay me right away. You go to money changer, tell the money changer, pay him out $10. You know, next week, right? In the meantime, I, the guy that's selling the cow, go back to the money changer the next day and ask him for the money right away. Why? So you have to be walking by and you ask me why. So I say, because I want to go buy a donkey. So I need the money, cash up front. So that case, so you say to me, you know what? A cow to the buyer, right? It looks like Chalifin, right? But it's not Chalifin. Because the donkey is not an exchange. The donkey is given as part of a purchase price. And the cow is not being exchanged. The cow is being sold. So that's what the Gemara says here. This is a case where the Mashiach of one animal will not automatically acquire the other animal. If you do Mashiach on the cow, we still owe the money. The donkey is not acquired automatically. And if the seller of the cow does Mashiach on the donkey, Mose and Akonos, this donkey is being given as money, not as Chalifin, not as Metalklin, so therefore he still hasn't been Machna the cow. So it looks like Chalifin, it's not Chalifin. So that's what it says, Moshal Zeh Lokona Zeh, Moshal Zeh Lokona Zeh. El Kol Echav Echav Nikas Blufo, each one needs Mashiach independently. Okay? One second.
See if it's okay. You better check and see if this boy's not on the fax phone, because I don't think they have a good moment.
Okay, so is that case clear? All right. Next case. Ketzad, how so? Mashal menu peiros lonasa lamos. If you did meshicha, you did meshicha on fruit, and you didn't give him money, eno yochol lachzor. Now this means classic case meshichos koina. Even though I didn't pay for fruit, once I did meshicha on fruit, it's acquired, right? Nasa lamos v'lo mashach lo peiros. If you gave money as payment and you didn't do yet to meshicha on the fruit, yochol lachzor, but you can still can renege because money does not make a kinyan. Okay, this is basic building blocks of kinyanim. Avol amru, but Chazal said mishapora miyanchi dor mavu. He took retribution from the generation of the flood. Asi lipor is going to eventually take retribution. Mimisha eno maybe divor from somebody who doesn't keep his word. And this guy, of course, doesn't keep his word because he paid money and then reneged on the deal. Either one, whichever side reneges after payment of money, they are untrustworthy people. Rabbi Shimon holds that anybody who has the money, his hand, he has the superior hand. What that means, we'll discuss a little bit in a couple of minutes. I'm Rabbi Yaakov. We're talking about a little bit of digression. I'm Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, Ksiva says, Ki mola aretz chamas mipneyem. It says, by generation of the deluge, the flood, it was full of chamas. Mahayel Chamson, what was their chomos? Hava Barnash, a cool case. Hava Barnash, nothing between Kupa Malaya to Musi. A guy would go out lugging a container full of legumes to sell. Vayum is Kavnin, so people would come, the Novi Pachas Mishava Pruta, and each guy would take a little bit less than a Shava Pruta from the legume basket. In other words, each thief would take a little bit less than Shavu Pruta, Davashen Yotzbadayim, and then there was no way that the Dayanim could make him give the money back, right? Because there wasn't enough to go to court. So that way, none of the individuals who stole was ever liable in a court case. But the guy nonetheless lost his legumes anyway. I'm Rechia Barba. Rechia Barba said, Rabba. There's a Gzera Shav that says, Rabba, great was the evil of the Dora Mabel, and it says, great was the evil of stone. Zakosa, the Rashi, the B'nai Moshe, is an apostle, at the first wide line, he Rabba Ras on the bars. That's what it says by the Mabel, and it says, Manchi stone, Zakosam ki Rabba. So we make a shava come out. Say elu kach my say elu. They both do the same thing. Okay. Now they get enough. I got it from the Yerushalmi. I'm Rechina. Rechina said halacha Rabbi Shimon. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon said whoever's got the money, he has the upper hand. However, lomarim lo b'chapin. It's not true on all accounts. Now the many explanations of what does it mean. It's not true on all accounts. The Gemara is very ambiguous. It doesn't say what it means. It's not true on all accounts. So the Rei Rav Meir Simcha the Or Sameach explains it. It says that Rabbi Shimon argues in two aspects. Rabbi Shimon says that if the guy paid and didn't yet do Mashiach, so the seller has got both the money and the commodity which is being sold. So then the seller has the upper hand. He can renege and not the buyer. If on the other hand the buyer did Mashiach already, he did Mashiach and didn't pay, then he's got both things. He's got the commodity, and he didn't pay, and he's got the money. Then the lokeach, the buyer, can renege. So the way the Reb Shimon understood, it means that whoever's got both things at any point in time, when the transaction is incomplete, whoever's got both the money and the commodity in his hands, he's the guy who can renege. So in that we argue, and we say that any once the buyer did Mashiach, even though he's all still holding on to the money, he can't renege anymore. After Mashiach, there's no reneging. Okay, that's what that. So we hold up Rabbi Shimon that if the seller has got the money and he's got the commodity, he's the one to renege, but not the buyer. Although Bavli does the Paschal, the Bavli Paschal that the buyer can pull out in that case as well. But if the sell, but the Yerushalmi holds like Rabbi Shimon, that if sell's got the money and the commodity, he can renege and not the buyer. But if the buyer just, we are the Rabbi Shimon would say the buyer, even the buyer only did Mashiach so far, right? The buyer did Mashiach, regardless. Wait a second. I'm sorry. If the, what would the case be? No, I can't think of what the case would be. Where would you have Mashiach without the guy holding on to both? Right. Oh, yeah, right. According to Shimon, if the buyer did, hasn't yet paid, but and has done Mashiach, so the buyer now has the money, and he's also got the commodity. So Rabbi Shimon holds yes, but since he hasn't paid yet, he can still renege on the deal. We argue on him in this respect, and we hold that once you do Mashiach, even though you're still holding on to the money, you can't renege. The money is now a choiv. You owe the money. You can't renege on that obligation. Is that clear what I just said?
Yeah, I
think so. Okay. Both of you? Okay. Okay, so both, we hold like Rabbi Shimon that the whoever has the money can renege, except if Mashiach has happened. Mashiach has happened, and there's nothing after Mashiach. Rabbi Hashem Rav said, "My sohaya v'haro Rabbi Rav, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi wants possibly to show this respect." Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef once gave money on salt. Chazer Bay, and he reneged. Ahu Amar. So he wanted to renege, I guess. So Tahu Amar, somebody said to him, Lo Yada, don't you know? The Kfar Yavon Magla Go Shakidu Gavra, that I guess it must be that the salt seller wanted to renege. The scribe answer is Tamil Chacham, obviously he wouldn't renege. So Chiyasim gave money to a salt seller. Somebody was selling salt. Chazar Bay, the salt seller wanted to renege. Ahu Amar, so Ahu Amar, Chazar Bay, Ahu, that must be the way to read it. Ahu, the salesman wanted to renege. So Amar, so he said, so Rav Chir Yosef warned him, he said, Lo Yoda, the Kvar Yavun Magugo Shakidu Gava, don't you know that they already chopped off your thighs? Misha Parame Anche Dora Mabu, Osi, the Parame Shaina Mahoyim Vidiburo. So the Mishapar applies to you. So you took retribution from Dora Mabu. It's eventually going to take retribution from somebody who doesn't keep his word. So therefore, you are liable. In other words, you better not renege on this deal. Chabanash, denied the metaxa. Another case, another certain individual gave money to buy silk garments. Chazerbe, so he wanted to renege on the deal. Asa Uvdo Kumi Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, doesn't say he wanted to renege, but one of the two guys wanted to renege. Asa Uvdo Kumi Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan. So the episode came, Rabbi Chia in front of Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Omar, Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef said, O Yitein Lo Kedir Vono O Yimso Solu Mishapara. Now here's a new interesting issue which hasn't come up previously, the concept of a Rava. Now let me make this clear, let me make it clear before we go on what this means. Actually, it's this week's Parsha. Anybody remember when this week's Parsha a Rava appears? Yeah. What? No. I think it's this week's Parsha. No, you're right, it's next week's Parsha. Sorry, by Yehuda. Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda gave Tamar an Eravon. Now, a Ravon could be either money or an object. Okay, Yehuda gave his Chosemes and Psilim, right? He gave his steel and his ropes, I don't know exactly what strings, whatever they were. So it could be either money or an object. That's an Eirovan. It's not a down payment, though. Eirovan is, I don't know how you translate exactly in English, but it's like security money. If I,
If when I give you an Eiravon, it's not a down payment, but it means if I default on the transaction, I lose whatever I gave as Eiravon. You understand what I'm saying? It's like a fine. If I don't finish the transaction, I lose my Eiravon. So an Eiravon can be either money or an object. There's another concept called down payment, right? And there's a third concept called a mashkon on a mashkon collateral as a guaranteeing that I'm going to give, but that's always an object. So all these things are going to go, three things are going to come up now. Erchias Yisva Amar, O Yitain Lo Kader Vono, O Yimsor Oso, Lemisha Pora. Either the guy, so obviously the seller was reneging. The sellers either got to give the amount of silk corresponding to the Eiravon to the buyer, or he gets a Mishapara. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, O Yitain Lo Kol Micho Yimsor Oso Lemishapara. Fascinating. He says, once you give an Eiravon, so then the seller has to go through the entire transaction, even though full payment has not yet occurred, because Eiravon is sufficient to require him to pay whatever is necessary. Sufficient to require the seller to make full to complete delivery. Rabbi Law said this case is a case of back to Eiravon. Rabbi Zera Amar, no, Miktas Domim Nasolo. It was an Eiravon, but Eiravon, that's talking not the case. This was a down payment. Okay? This is a whole different case whatsoever. The down payment, there we have a machlokas. But by an Eiravon, it would seem that the Eiravon, everybody agree that the way the Ritbah says, that it corresponds only to the Eiravon. He does have to give him full amount. If I give a down payment, then that might mean Mechayev, the seller, to give me the full amount, or else pay to Mishapora. But if I only give an Eiravon is only konek up to the value of the Eiravon, not beyond that, there would not be an issue. In that case, the seller would only have to give up to the Eiravon, not beyond. Okay, Moira of Rechiv by Yosef. Rechiv Yosef concedes Rabbi Yochanan, but Mekach, by, did I skip something? No. Mor Rabbi Chiya so Yochum in Mecca, she'ain darko liknos chetzio. If you go on part of the towers. Rabbi Chiya so concedes Rabbi Yochanan that it, regardless of whether it's even if he gave a down payment, regardless of the fact that it's only a down payment, if it's something where you don't buy it in units, like you're not buying flour or sugar, but you're buying a cow or a talus, then even the down payment acquires the whole thing. And if the seller does not deliver the whole thing, it's a, he gets a mishapara. Because you don't say, well, let him give only the part of the cow, it's a live cow, not a dead cow. Only give the live cow corresponding to the down payment, or part of the talus corresponding to the down payment. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yechner, Rabbi Yechner said, Tabas imbo mishum eiravon. By a ring, there's no eiravon. Now remember I said before, an eiravon could be either money or an object. So he's saying if it's an object, if it's a ring, at least if it's a significant object which has sentimental value, that's clearly not meant to belong to the seller. He never means to leave it by the seller. And therefore, in that case, if you give a ring as an Eiravon, so then in that case, then there's no Mishapara even, where the Ritbah learns, there's not even Mishapara. Because where it potentially, the Eiravon was supposed to remain by the seller, which is when it's money, then you could say an Eiravon constitutes some form of payment, and therefore, if the seller reneges, it gets a Mishapara. But where it's given as a ring is given or some other object which is clearly not meant to remain by the seller, then it doesn't really constitute a foreign payment. If it doesn't constitute a foreign payment, then there's no corresponding mishapara to it. Okay, so basically, again, the three things we said. By mixas domim, If you give a down payment, there's for sure Mishapara. As it might even be Mishapara if you don't fulfill the entire obligation and sell them all of the amount of the commodity you meant to sell them, even that which is above and beyond the down payment. By a Ravon, it's a Machlokas. Some say a Ravon, you have to give, the guy has to give the commodity corresponding to the Ravon, whatever it's worth. Some say the guy has to give more than that corresponding to the entire amount. That's a Machlokas. By, however, an object in the Zeravon, such as a ring, which is clearly meant to go back to the original owner, since that for sure is not considered to be a foreign payment, in that case, there's no Mishapara, even if the seller reneges and doesn't want to make any delivery. Okay? Let's just get down the base. Call on nice and nice will be dvarim. Anytime they're just promises exchanging hands, no cash. Spadel principle manifest here. Okay? If there's no money, it's meaningless, right? Amos is on Mishapara, make you all the promises in the world. But if it's just talk is cheap. Talk is no Mishapara. What? Oh, it's only Kona to make a Mishapara. It's not an absolute Kenyan. It's a Kenyan that you get Mishapara if you back out. But the true king is only Mashiach. And if you do just promise or pledge, there isn't even a Mishapara. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov is out there, B'Shem Yochan, said, we're going to get into that more tomorrow night. B'Shem Rabbi Yochan, Omer Lite Maton Chavero, if somebody wants to give, says he's going to give a gift to his friend, the Chubik Eish Lachsavo, and then he decides to change his mind, Chayzer, he's allowed to renege. And there's no problem with Mishapara. So, but the Gemara has a problem, which is not actually brought down here, but Moshe brings it down from it's elsewhere in the Yerushalmi. We had it already once before. I forget where. He says, wait a minute, but what about, Torah says, Kin Shechot Tzedek V'Lav Shechot Tzedek. Pnei Moshe brings it down. If you say something, it has to be just. When you say hey, it should be righteous, and we say Lav, it should be righteous. So where's the righteousness here if you said you're going to give a gift and then decided not to? What about that mitzvah saseh of keeping your promises? Hein tzedek and lav tzedek. So I think the Bible says you taka transgress it. But the Yerushalmi is more pragmatic here. It says, Omar b'shosha omar sarach lamar midas gemura. When you say it, you have to really mean what you're saying. That's what hein tzedek and lav tzedek says. Do you have to mean it when you say it? But afterwards, in Chazar Bay, if you renege, take out the low, the Escorial takes out, Chazar Bay, alright? In other words, when you say it, you have to really mean it. If later on you're going to follow through, that's a different issue altogether. But Hain said it, Rav said it just means you have to mean it when you say it. By on me, Ababashir Nasa Neder. So only true, a poor guy, he can renege later on. But a rich guy, it's like a neder, and you must fulfill it, it's an obligation. Now that's one way of learning it, but the others have a different gear, so the Gilin Ephraim, I think of the Escorial, but certainly the Gilin Ephraim and others have a different gear, so Hara, that's not going on the giver, but on the recipient. That would be Hara Tamar Bashir. When the recipient is a rich guy, you don't necessarily have to give it to him, even if you made a promise. If you meant it, you meant it, but then you can act later on. Avo Be'oni, again, changing the gear, so, but if the recipient was a poor person, Nasaneta, then it's Stoka. If it's Stoka, then you, no matter what, even if you feel like reneging, you can't renege run later on. Not proper, at the very least. Rav Mavki, L'Shamish, Rav said to Shamish, Amos, the name Arloch, when I tell you, Tite Maton L'Barnash, give a gift to a certain individual, in Hava Miskin, if it's a poor guy, Havle Miyad, give it to him immediately. In Osir, if however it's a rich guy, In Lech Bitin Anus, ask me again to make sure I talk a mean to say it. Okay, I think that's enough for tonight. We'll stop here. Don't get any ideas. This shouldn't set any precedent. Okay, have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.